when we lived in Indiana, the former owner of our house was a potter, and you know, she had this basement work area where she had her potter's wheel set up. We could tell that because of the splashes of clay on the walls of the basement. And we found some broken pottery shards here and there, and a few items that she had not sold. And outside the house, there was this shed where she had had her kiln, which was sold off before we moved there. Anyway, now my daughter has taken up pottery and has produced some very beautiful stuff. And I really look forward to Christmas because she usually has a pot or two for me, or a mug or something. Anyway, last year she gave me a beautiful planter that was kind of unique. It was square and shaped like a little adobe house with, you know, the plant growing through the roof. It was fun. Anyway, have you ever watched a potter working at a potter's wheel? You know, they take a lump of clay, set it on the wheel, get the wheel turning, and then with their hands, gradually shape it, you know, using their thumbs to make the depression that becomes the inside of whatever they're creating, and gradually works it up to where they want it to be. And if it's going to be a vase, then that's really hard. That works, work it up, work it up, work it up. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And so they smash the clay all up into a ball, set it on the potter's wheel, and start again. So the potter doesn't give up on the clay. And God is working as a potter to reshape us and doesn't give up on us. So there's that hymn, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." Yes, God is a master potter, reshaping us into something beautiful, working to reshape the church into something that pleases God. Yes, and God is even working in our nation to reshape our nation. It doesn't seem like that at times, but trust God to be working. And God is working across the world to reshape our world into something more beautiful, more loving, in spite of all of the hatred and killing and war that's going on. Yes, God is still working. And that gives me hope. It gives me hope that the little I can do, along with the little you can do, can be worth something and can help be a part of God's reshaping, not only of ourselves, but of the church and the world. Well, Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, and Onesimus was a runaway slave, but he had come up against Paul while Paul was in prison, and he was remade. He accepted Christ. He wanted to do the right thing. And he was willing to return to his master, Philemon. But Philemon needed reworking too. And Paul says, accept him in a new relationship. Receive him not as a slave, but as a brother. Wow. You know, in Paul's day in the Roman Empire, If a runaway slave was caught, the master could have that slave put to death. So Paul is arguing not only for the sake of Onesimus's life, but he's arguing for setting him free from slavery, treating him as a brother. And Paul says, yeah, I could have, you know, if I wanted to be selfish, because Onesimus has been so helpful to me while I'm here in prison, you know, I would just love to keep him, but he really belongs to you, and your relationship with him has to be settled before anything else happens. So I'm sending him back with hope that you will do the right thing. And I think Paul thought the right thing was to send him back to Paul to take care of Paul. But who knows? Anyway, but to receive a slave as a brother, that the implications of that for our country's history are pretty profound. You know, slavery was legal in this country for hundreds of years. People owned slaves not just in the South, but in the North. You know, famous people like Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. And what Paul is arguing for is for slave owners to set their slaves free. And he's not arguing for the end of slavery, even. He's saying, but he's arguing as an institution, but he's saying, no, we should set our slaves free voluntarily, not because of the law, but because of the love of God that's in us and we have for everyone, even those who are slaves. Anyway, interesting. We're going to celebrate communion in a little bit. And in communion, hopefully we experience God's presence with us in a special way, not through the words of the preacher solely, but through the senses of taste and smell as we share the bread and the cup, which reminds us that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Reminds us that, yes, he died for us, but it also, because of the passage where Jesus appeared with his disciples and they didn't recognize him, and then they started to have dinner and he broke the bread and offered them the cup, and suddenly, oh my gosh, it can't be, but it's him, he's alive, and he disappeared from us. So communion reminds us also of Jesus' resurrection. Fascinating. It reminds us that God wants to nurture us, to feed us, to strengthen us so that we can love more fully and serve more fully. So anyway, in this process, he's reshaping us as a potter reshapes the clay. In this process, he's reshaping our church. We don't really are... In many ways, we can be proud of the shape of our church. And in other ways, I think we're somewhat sad when we look around and see so many empty seats, because there was a time when a lot of these seats were filled. But God calls us to move on, to move forward. So the question becomes, are we open to God's working to reshape us? And are we the kind of church that God wants us to be? God's got all kinds of churches, from, you know, churches in Korea that have thousands and thousands of members, to small churches like we have so many of in New Mexico. But are we open to God's work to remake and reform our church? That's an interesting question as we begin our discernment process. After worship, after fellowship this morning, we're discernment means to figure something out, and to figure out who we are and who God wants us to be, who is in our community, how we might better serve our community, you know, what is the best way forward for our church, all of these things. What does our community need? What do our neighbors need? What resources do we have to meet these needs? Will we continue as a separate church, or will we merge with another church, or will we disperse our members to go to whatever church they want to? We don't know this. Will we be able, my hope, to grow? Not because we want to have pews filled so much, but because we have love to share with the world, with our neighbors. We have gifts to give to help them reshape their lives. That's really the heart of it. If we look at church growth as an ability, just getting more, I was going to say butts in the pews, but we don't have pews, to get more seats, more people in the seats. If we look at that is our purpose, that's selfish and it's bound to fail. But if we look at this as an opportunity to bring people into God's love, to help them experience what we have experienced in terms of the forgiveness of our sins, the presence of God working in our lives, the promises of eternal life, if we have all of that to give, my goodness, the world needs that. Our neighbors need that. Why are we so silent? I like to tell the joke of what do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with the Presbyterians? Some of you heard this before. You know what you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Presbyterian? Well, it's somebody that knocks on your door, and when you answer, they don't know what to say. You know, we're not very good at sharing our stories of faith with our friends and families, with our neighbors. And we're afraid of becoming, you know, like a TV preacher pounding on the pulpit, threatening people with hell and destruction, all that. We've been pretty well turned off by evangelism because of what we've seen. But evangelism is really sharing God's love, sharing our stories of faith. People are interested in our stories of faith, even though they're not interested in being told that they are sinners and going to hell, but they are interested in hearing our experiences with God's love in our lives. So let's try to share it where we can, where it's appropriate. And there's also the saying, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. We preach the gospel not only by talking about God's love, but by loving and caring for one another. Even that grumpy old fourth person in the three nice guys quartet. Anyway, so you know, I hope you'll stay after worship as we begin the process of discernment. And today we're going to look at who we are, what some of our history has been, and I don't know much of the history, so you all are going to have to share some of it. Anyway, I think, and then in 2 weeks on the 21st, we'll talk about what we're doing. We're talking today about who we are, our being versus our doing. We are human beings, not human doings, by the way. So we're going to look at those separately. The third time we meet, which will be the first Sunday in October, we're going to look at our community. What shape is our community? Who lives here? Who are the people we can serve? And then the fourth gathering is the one where we begin to look at what does our future hold? I mean, we're going to look a little bit at the future all the way through, but the fourth time we meet, we're going to really focus on honing in on what are our options for the future? What do we think God is calling us to do or to be in the future? So that's kind of the plan. Anyway, what I'm hoping is that we will recognize our need to be a part of God's work informing us, reshaping us at our church. I hope we'll get a greater understanding, deeper commitment, maybe a change of our priorities, maybe a change of direction. But through all of this process, we have to remember that God is the potter. Our job is to be open to the shape that God is working us into being. And maybe we've reached a point where the lump of clay, the thing that God was forming, hasn't worked out quite the way it should, and God has taken us back into a lump of clay and starting over again. I don't know, but we'll explore that. And I promise you, it will be good. Amen.